This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Power Hour. You guys, of course, ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app, not to mention Sirius XM Channel 371. Chris Cotter's going to join us coming up here in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And we still have some unfinished business to attend to.
Yeah, we do.
From a busy night of ACC hoops and other stuff.
Well, let's quickly give you the rundown of the ball games last night. Four conference games. Georgia Tech did beat Morehouse last night, the only non-conference game. Jackets 82-54 winners at McCamish Pavilion. We'll start in Charlottesville. Story of the night, Virginia gets Florida State. The number five team in the country falls 61-56. Virginia's still yet to hit the 70-point mark this year. Longest streak by an ACC team in 50 years, by the way.
And the 15th time this season that an unranked basketball team has knocked off somebody in the AP Top 5. Yeah. We aren't even into February yet, and we've had 15 of these games. It has just been a crazy upside-down year, not only just within the ACC, but nationally.
Yeah. Tomas Walden Tensai once again hit a couple of threes early in the ball game, coming off a strong performance on Sunday in Winston-Salem, got Virginia kind of rolling early. Mama D. Diakite from distance. Not once, but twice, Pack.
Somebody's got to make them.
There's another one. Come on now.
And by the way, while we're telling you about the 15 unranks knocking off an AP top five, it was the first time Virginia has pulled that off since 2013 as an unranked team, knocking off somebody in the AP top five.
Yeah. Also last night in the ACC in the top 10, number nine, Duke beat Pittsburgh 79-67 at Cameron. The Blue Devils led comfortably most of the night. Pitt closed it in the second half. Great run. Got it down to 3 points at 68-65, I believe,
Duke
right?
was up 18. Pitt makes a run to cut it to three, and then Duke closes out the game. Of course, you had the Coach K situation barking at the students. He apologized afterwards. It was not a pretty sight for anybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the big story is Duke wins the game. Pitt's playing better. But, man, can you believe they had it within three, and yet McGowan's one of their great backcourt players, 0-for-7 from the field last night.
Yeah, Audie's Tony had a career-high 27 for the Panthers.
Great.
Pack will be very quick to tell you that Vernon Carey posted another double-double last night, 26 points, 13 rebounds. He's now got 9 of them in the ACC. That is second, tied for second, behind Notre Dame's John Mooney, who has 15, and Carey was sensational again.
And if you came up with any kind of midseason all-ACC team and did not have this man on your list, you need to go back to the drawing board, Wes. I'm just telling you, this guy is a player.
I tried to go by positions.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, so Duke a winner. They beat Pittsburgh for the fifth straight time. They are 7-1 against the Panthers.
And Duke at Syracuse this week at the Dome, 30,000-plus.
Yep.
Cuse coming off a tough loss, which we'll get to here in a second. The big boys at the top. Florida State stays in the state of the Commonwealth, has to go to Virginia Tech. Louisville's on the road tonight. They're at NC State over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Duke at Syracuse. So the big boys at the top with challenges the rest of the week.
Miami a winner, led early, led often, as they say. 71-61 the final. They beat Virginia Tech at Coral Gables last night. Dejan Vasiljevic led the Hurricanes with 18 points. They are now 11-9, but just 3-7 in the ACC. They had a 22-point first-half lead. Virginia Tech, again, a flurry in the second half. But the Hurricanes, who played again without Chris Likes, but did get Cam Augusti back into the lineup last night. Miami is at Pittsburgh on Sunday. The Hokies welcome Florida State to the Castle on Saturday.
You worried about Virginia Tech? They struggled to beat North Carolina at home. They were down 12. They ended up winning nothing in double OT.
They lose at BC. Lose.
Had a big lead up in double digits early. Lose last night. Quite frankly, Miami comes in, one hand tied behind their back, has them down 22 before they make a run to cut it to four with the ball.
Yeah.
Are you concerned about Virginia Tech's staying power?
A little bit. I'm worried about the shot-making principle, because it is incumbent that they hit shots, especially from the perimeter. And I keep going back to things we talked about in November and December about Virginia Tech. And here's kind of what I'm leaning on. Virginia Tech has to hit a higher number of threes in order to win, I think on the road especially, Mark, than other teams simply because of what they fight inside. I mean, PJ Horn, Tyrese Radford are their two best rebounders, essentially, right? They've got to be a three-point shooting team. I mean, the number's got to be more toward eight than, say, five, right?
Well, I think. Here's where I am on Virginia Tech.
Okay.
We were talking about overachievers, underachievers.
Sure.
Right? Virginia Tech, to me, at this point, even before last night, is the biggest overachiever. This is just a personal opinion.
Right.
I thought before the season started, they would be 14th or 15th.
I agree. Totally.
And to be honest with you, probably more 15 than 14. I just thought they lost everything. I mean, Buzz left
Well, he
down.
Told us in May he only had six players.
Right. And so my expectations for Coach Young and Virginia Tech this year were almost zero.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not
– I totally
not,
agree.
Not Jeff Collins, Georgia Tech football-like, but similar in the sense that, hey, you're almost starting from scratch.
Right.
So for Virginia Tech to run out of the gate, beats Clemson in the first game,
mm-hmm.
some surprising wins, beats Sparty in Hawaii – the good success in the ACC with a quick start. This was so unexpected for what I thought their expectations are.
Right.
I do wonder if they're coming back to earth a little bit. And again, there's no shame in being 5-5. Right now, I mean, we keep talking about the glob in this league. But Virginia Tech, to me, is the biggest surprise at the halfway point, if you will, of conference play.
Okay.
Despite last night's effort.
Well, you know they're going to play they play combination defense, right? I mean, they're not married to one way to play.
Right.
They do try to create a little tempo with pressure from time to time. Here's kind of where I am with that. It is so singular what they have to do in order to win, though. I mean, it's one thing. Think about it. They've got to hit perimeter shots.
Yeah, that's right.
And if they don't get closer to eight than five when it comes to threes,
it's
they
41
run
the, to 19.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to run. And again, they're going to get better. This is as bad as it gets with Mike Young. And bad right now ain't bad.
He's right in the middle of the glob.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now, how much better is it going to get this year? How many shots are they going to hit? It won't be like that next year. It'll be, okay, are they still going to be good from the perimeter? How does their cut game go? Remember his Wofford teams? They always had a big man at the foul. That's why, in all honesty, and look, I don't blame the kid for making the decision he made. Think about how good they'd be if Kerry Blackshear were there.
Oh, Blackshear would be
because
your
he handled the ball at the foul line
a ton. He would have been your preseason ACC player of the year. That's who he is.
But in Mike Young's system,
perfect.
He'd have been incredible.
Yeah, he'd have been perfect.
And look, he's fine. Mike White's a good coach at Florida. I got no problem with the decision. But think about how good he would have been in that system.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, right. It's crazy. So anyway, talk about the Hokies. They fall at Miami. They get Florida State on Saturday at the Castle.
An important game for them, and really for Florida State too, because you know they have not lost a game since December 3rd until last night.
Right.
And if you're Leonard Hamilton, as terrific as their team has been playing,
right,
all of a sudden you're looking at a potential 0-2.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
And so, and for the Hokies, you just want to end that slide. We keep harping on it. You get an 0-2 week, there is pressure on you to respond the following week because it can get away from you.
Absolutely. By the way, before we get to break and staying on the topic of the Hokies, we have really enjoyed some of the things that have been sent to us. We found out earlier in the show today, Tony Roby, who we had on the show last week ahead of his duel with Carolina on Friday night at the Castle,
right. Joined
us. We found out Virginia Tech grappled with Northwestern over at the baseball stadium in November.
Outdoors,
mat on the mound type thing. Well, then during the break, we got this photo of the Hokies wrestling in the Fine Arts Center?
I'll tell you what.
You're just getting more gunned up, aren't you?
The content provided by this sport, I'm almost ashamed that we whiffed on this so badly. Because there is so much to talk about with wrestling. Not to mention the tidbit we gave you earlier, for the first time in conference history,
right.
Four ACC teams are ranked nationally in the top 10, led by...
Yeah.
You can have nice things. NC State, number 4.
Yeah.
Right? Hokies are 7, Heels 8, Pitt 10.
Again, these are all earlier in the show. This was earliest in the show. Thank goodness Dr. Terrell Joy was watching ACC Network or ESPN Classic or something when yesterday this hit the internet, kids. Right there. Great picture of Terry Holland. No. Don't look at that. Bottom left corner, the flow. Mark Packer, that is some strong salad you're rocking right there.
Better believe it.
That is, I'm going to tell you now.
I was David Shula before David Shula.
Well, let me tell you who you were. And Robert Llewellyn, who helps us out, discovered it. Bless your heart, Robert. Take that picture right there in the bottom left, and all you have to do is realize that Mark Packer is Scott Baio. Let it go, Chachi.
That's beautiful.
Me and Chachi right here every morning.
I've got that blazer somewhere upstairs.
Yes, you do. You bet. Sleeves rolled up on the whole bit, don't you?
I am ready. Hey, ready to roll. Let's do it.
Me and Chachi.
That's funny.
Right here doing the show every morning from 7 to 10.
That is funny.
Golly, Pete. How good was that?
Yeah. Huh? Pretty accurate, too.
Robert Llewellyn right there on it.
Be Robert's last show.
It is, Robert. I've enjoyed working with
him. If I had some bourbon from Macri, we would toast your last show.
Robert, we'd send you on your way. How about that? Unbelievable. All right, when we come back.
Wait,
we're
not going to talk about Clemson-Syracuse? Are you just going to just pass right
past
that
game? You've had your moment.
Whoa.
You had your moment.
It's not my moment. It's Brad Brownell's moment. I told you earlier, in the span of 2.5 weeks, the dude has beaten Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski, and Jim Boeheim in 2.5 weeks. It's a guy that won one game in the month of December.
Well, let me tell you, we have a new segment on this show coming up at 9:30.
What is that?
Spanning the Glob.
Oh, we stole it from a listener. I love it. Spanning the Glob.
So we're going to go Spanning the Glob at 9:30, and we will talk about a Glob game of the night.
And speaking of, the ice cube is slowly hanging in. I mean, I don't know if it's going to get to 10.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right, we're going to have a gentleman who I hope has thawed out from his trip to the frozen north. He's making his
Wait
debut.
Wait a second. He lived in Bristol for years.
No. This is cold.
He was in New York before that.
This is cold. We just found out. Breaking news. He has thawed out just for this interview alone, making his debut on our show.
It's only going to be 34 degrees, Connor. What's the problem? Wait, hold on.
What happened to the audio? It's so cold we have no audio.
What happened to the audio?
How about now? Testing one, two. You good?
All right, good.
I'll just hold
go,
the mic
Carter.
Here.
Carter, talk to
the
us.
The mic is frozen. The mic is frozen. That's part of it. I looked out my hotel window this morning, and, you know, they got all these new buildings here on campus right next to the facilities, and I was like, how did people live here in the 1800s when they had to go out and forage and hunt all day long? I looked out my window and I have to walk 400 yards and I thought, I'm never going to make it. Like, I mean, I'm going to have to buy an extra coat just to be able to get to that distance. And as I'm walking, I'm thinking, how did people make it here before we had buildings and heat and whatnot? Us soft media types, we need like a tunnel or a bridge here to get to, our lot and Purcell and the football stadium and everything else.
All right. I want you to hook the mic back up there, Edward R. Murrow. You're in Bristol and now all of a sudden you've relocated back to the A. So you go to South Bend, and all of a sudden you're telling me you've gone southern again or something? What's the problem?
Then no question. I guess, because you're right. I mean, to me, January in Bristol was just, it became old hat for me, and I was in New York before that. So 6 months down south, and I didn't even really need a coat in Atlanta when I went to the airport. I know a lot of our fans that are in the northern states are probably a little bit angry about that. But you guys know what that's like in the winter. It gets down, and even in Charlotte, it gets down into the 40s, and it's almost a full-scale panic from everybody down there. So coming up here was a little bit of a shock. But I love the stark beauty of the Midwest, whether it's Indiana or Ohio. A lot of people consider that flyover territory. I'm not one of those people. I like it.
Well, two words that you need to really, really get into regarding this cold in wintertime. The two words are body fat. If you have body fat, you don't worry about that, Cotter. I mean, you've been working out in the gym all day. You're buff, you know, all that stuff. You know what? We come rolling in there looking for a rack of ribs like, hey, why is everybody freezing cold around this place?
You can find a few of those here in South Bend, though. That is for sure. You can find some food.
All right, so Notre Dame Wake tonight, 7 o'clock, game one of our doubleheader. You and Coach Patola there, courtside at Purcell Pavilion. And needless to say, both want wins. Now, Mike Bray was a storyline coming out of Tallahassee, another close call for his team. Danny Manning's team gets Virginia to overtime. What's your gauge on the desperation meter between the Irish and Deacons?
Yeah, you think about it, and I heard you guys talking about Clemson going back to break. And is that game, the Clemson-Syracuse game last night, not emblematic of the entire ACC, other than maybe the very top this whole season? Because you're talking about you have no idea who's going to win week to week, and anybody can beat anybody else. And you look at these two teams, I think Notre Dame and Wake, they have very similar paths recently. And I did a Wake game against Xavier back in December, and it looked like they got the win, and Xavier was ranked 21st in the country at the time. And it looked like that might be a game where Danny Manning's club turned the corner a little bit. And then they followed that one up with a win against Pitt at the start of the year, and you thought, okay, Johnny Brown's getting it going. This team is really heading in the right direction. Well, since then, they've lost 5 out of 6. Their last two, very close games with a lot of injuries. So if they can get guys healthy, and I'm not sure whether Chandy Brown's going to play tonight, I'm not sure whether Brandon Childress is going to play tonight, that backcourt duo, if they're not in there, they're a different team. But if they are, they might be able to harken back to the days in late December and early January where they were playing good basketball. Notre Dame, similarly. Notre Dame goes on the road and beats Syracuse in early January, and you think, okay, maybe that's kind of a Mike Ray game where he turns things around. And they start to play their way on the bubble. They start to play their way into that second tier of, you know, fourth, fifth, and sixth in the conference. And what does Notre Dame do? They lose 4 out of 5 games since then. And so many of them have been close games, just like that Florida State game this past weekend. So it's kind of been a heartbreak kid situation for the Irish. They're in all of these games. They just got to find a way to win some of these games and maybe put themselves back on that bubble discussion.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, Mike Brady, of course, being a story this week with the fine and everything else, you can totally understand his frustration that every single game he's seen now for the last couple of weeks looks like it's like the groundhog, right? The groundhog day. I mean, I've seen this. I know how this thing ends. We're going to lose by 2. at some point in time, you just got to figure, man, we're going to make one more shot and finally win one of these. Chris, I got to be honest with you. This game tonight feels like another one of those, hey, last TV timeout. I got no idea who's going to win this game. It's going to be tight. Should be close.
Yeah.
That's what I love about calling these games this year in the ACC. For so many years, when the ACC, when the depth was 8 or 9 teams being considered for the NCAA tournament, and every night you had really good teams going at it. This year, I feel like all these games are close games and they're good games to call, even though maybe the overall depth of quality in the league is not like we've seen in previous years. You're still getting all these teams in the middle, whether it's a Georgia Tech, whether it's Boston College, whether it's Clemson last night, whether it's these two teams tonight. They can play right down to the wire and give you exciting basketball, and it's been fun to call these games this year because of that reason.
You mentioned the injuries at Wake Forest. Certainly Brandon Childress's scenario the other day didn't help him against Virginia. Shaundy Brown has been kind of in and out. It was thought that he might be able to come back last week. I'm guessing it's going to be a game time or afternoon decision. Here's the other thing, though. Olivier Saar and John Mooney might end up determining the ball game because Mooney's been spectacular. I think he's first team. But Olivier Saar might be the most improved player in this league tonight. And if Brown and Childress can't go, Danny Manning's really got to have him.
Yeah, and the thing about Saar is he was a sixth man extraordinaire. You know, here's a 7-footer that Danny Manning used to use and loves to use coming off the bench to give teams a little bit of a different look. And because of the injuries to Brown and Childress, he's having to thrust now Saar into the starting lineup. So he's still getting about the same amount of minutes, but it's just a different feel for Danny Manning in terms of how he can mix up a game at the under 16 or in that next segment sort of a time frame. And when Saar's coming off the bench, both these teams, you got Dane Goodwin for Notre Dame and Olivier Saar, those are two of the best sixth men I think you'll find in the whole entire country, not just the ACC. So Manning has to kind of change his lineup a little bit if he's undermanned and has to go with Saar as a starter and really play his starting five, you know, a great deal of minutes.
All right, I want to switch gears on you a little bit. I know you're not in the mood yet because it's 2 degrees in South Bend, but lacrosse season is about ready to get cranked up. The defending national champs on the men's side, the University of Virginia, a preseason favorite in the league. Just kind of give us a little semi-crystal ball of ACC lacrosse coming up, which should be really, really good.
Well, trust me, there'll be some games up here at Arlotta here in South Bend that'll feel like 2 degrees as well coming up. Lacrosse games, we start early, and there are places like Denver, Marquette. They'll be playing outdoors in February. Lucky for me, I'll be in Durham on Saturday with Air Force and Duke as the season opens up, and I think it's a really good year for the league. I mean, you do have the defending champs in Virginia, and they're going to be really good. Starting attack is back. The one thing they lose, and I know you guys talk about it a lot, championship teams always have glue guys. They always have role players, seniors, and Virginia lost a little bit of that last year. So who's going to step up in terms of upperclassmen to be able to carry them, not just to the Final Four weekend, but to another championship? You need those guys to take that next step. Syracuse is going to be much better, and they need to be. There's a little bit of heat, even in the winter months. Up there in Syracuse with this lacrosse team. So I think they're going to be much better. I think North Carolina is going to be better. Both those teams, Syracuse and Carolina, get some impact transfers. And so I think the league as a whole is still going to be between the Big Ten and the ACC dominant leagues in the country. But the ACC, I think, will be a little better. And the other thing too, you know, and Roy Williams is suffering from this, and I think a lot of basketball coaches are suffering from this. We're seeing all these graduate transfers. And I think coaches look at it and say, and I'm not saying Roy Williams did this, but from a fan's perspective, I see North Carolina, you lose all those players to the NBA, you're not going to make up for it by a graduate transfer from the Southern Conference. Mm. Lacrosse is different. Lacrosse, you're getting transfers in, and they're huge impact guys, and Syracuse and North Carolina have both a big-time impact transfer coming in for both of those schools, and it's going to make a big difference.
Hey, Chris, I know you were in Dallas. I want to close on this because I knew this was going on. I wasn't sure how it all played out. And I know it's going to air, I think, later this week, right? And that's the College Football All-Star Competition. Take me through how some of the – I know Kelsey was there, I think, with you as well. How did that go?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's really interesting, too, because you have all these kids who were college kids just a couple of weeks ago. And now they're professionals, and it's sort of an event where they get paid to attend. They get paid if they win, their conference wins. So it's each conference versus four players from each conference versus each other in this, competition. It's like obstacle courses and quarterback accuracy and whatnot. And it's a lot of fun. And they take it seriously because, you know, they're playing for that last time, the last opportunity to play for the Big Ten or the ACC or the SEC. So, they fight for it, and you get a chance to see really amazing athletes, whether it's Jalen Reagor from TCU, Jerry Jeudy was there from Alabama. So I think you should watch it. They'll probably play it a few times, as we are apt to do, at 3 a.m. So when you come in from your Waffle House trip, you've been out all night, tune in. I'm sure you'll be able to see it, and it's fun. It's worth the watch.
Or Packers case, walking dogs.
Yeah, I'm at 3 a.m. I'm up. I don't know what the problem is with everybody. By the way, I just got to note that the Ubers are not working in South Bend, but the dogs will be there to pick you up and escort you right to the arena tonight.
The 400 yards, right.
That's it. It'll
be a dangerous 400 yards.
Yeah, thank goodness you're working with Spatola because, as we all know, he's a man of the people.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, it's going to be fun tonight. Like you guys said, hopefully we'll get a good game. And I expect that we will between these two teams. They always seem to take it right down to the wire.
Yeah. By the way, are those suede patches on your shirts?
Yeah. I mean, I'm in Notre Dame. It's sort of like, you know, the academic center of the universe. So I'm going to dress like I'm in academia.
Yeah, well, wait. You hang around. You watch this show at 9:45. We'll tell you who's involved in academia around here.
Exactly. Right.
Oh, I was thinking the exact opposite. Suddenly, the IQ level will drop a little bit.
Yeah. Well, after you leave this show, it will.
That's it. You just stay tuned, big man.
Thanks,
you just
Cotter.
Stay tuned up there.
Appreciate it. See you, Cotter.
Bye, fellas.
All right, Chris.
See you guys
Cotter,
around.
Live from South Bend. Excellent stuff. Look forward to both he and Anish Shroff helping us with lacrosse this year a little bit.
And the league will be really good, as usual.
Yep. And interesting notes on grad transfers.
Yeah, that was interesting because we'll get into this more as we get into springtime, even in South Bend.
Yeah.
That is a really interesting angle. Very different than what we normally get in a football basketball conversation.
When we come back on this show, kids. You're excited about this, aren't you?
I am, actually.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
We should show you the glob as we know it this morning. And again, if you're just dialing in, this happened a couple weeks ago. Packer termed the glob the middle of the ACC. In fact, last night, conference administrators were telling you this was the glob.
Yeah, they bought in too.
Yeah, they're in.
And look at that. I mean, seriously, look at that right there. Every night, these games matter, man.
All right. So, glob game of the night. There you see it. Syracuse a winner, or Syracuse a loser to Clemson last night.
Don't get that wrong because that
would cost
me a lot.
To fall back into the glob. Meanwhile, Clemson moves up in the glob to go to 5-5.
Hokies fall. Cuse falls.
Yep.
NC State fell the other night.
Yeah. Carolina's into the glob.
Pitt lost last night.
Yeah.
BC's going tonight. Tar Heels are probably the one. You know, everybody on that list right there, Virginia feels the best today because they got such a huge win. And the very end of the glob, North Carolina's feeling probably pretty good about themselves winning two in a row and the potential that one of these days, perhaps, Cole Anthony will return.
Yeah, you know. Olympics or Cole Anthony? What comes first?
You know, I don't need to see any more Instagrams. I just want to see him in uniform playing. That's right. What I would see.
Miami a winner last night over Virginia Tech, but the glob game of the night was Clemson and Syracuse. Tonight's glob game of the night is Wake Notre Dame. Wouldn't you say kind of on the fringe of the glob?
Probably, but this was an important game last night because Syracuse is red hot. They'd won five in a row. They're up 10 points in the second half after trailing nine early.
Yep.
It's really their kind of game, to be honest with you. And Clemson, again, much like they did against Wake Forest, comes from behind in the second half and really executed well down the stretch.
And Tevin Mack was sensational, awesome. 32-10. Lots of stuff right here. That was, I thought he did his best work on second chance and around the glass last night.
And kind of a crazy ending with the ball being knocked out of bounds. And it seemed like for about, I don't know, 10 minutes, everybody was standing around trying to figure out how much time's left on the clock for Syracuse to potentially try to get off a game-winning shot. They eventually, and kind of weird, Wes, 1.4 seconds or 0.4, they just agreed to say, well, let's just cut it in the middle and play from here. I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
Yeah,
it was weird.
By the way, Mac in the middle of the zone, and we touched on this in hour one, I thought Clemson did as good a job as anybody of trying to get shots against the zone.
And Syracuse was in foul trouble inside, so Clemson went right after the weak spot and really did a nice job.
Yeah, the other part is that when Dolezal, who is a mismatch and a tough cover for opponents because of his length and his quickness, well, they countered, Brad Brunell countered by putting Mack in there offensively, and that made it tough on Dolezal.
No, no question. Because they went right after him, and Mack was really, really good.
Great win for Brad Brunell.
As I said, how about the fact, beat Roy, beat Kay, beat Boeheim in basically 2.5 weeks, and this coming after a month in which Clemson won one game in December.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Here's another look. Good stuff. I have a question. You see trap score. I have a question here about the spanning the glob segment. Can I ask that question?
Sure.
I'm sensing that we're going to have some glob in the spanning the glob standings.
Well, it can't just be Jim McKay in the music. I mean, we're going to have a little bit something else.
We got to have something else, right?
And that's where the experts up there in Bristol,
Lumberjacks.
Yeah, this is where they're making.
You guys overseeing the glob up there in Bristol? Is that what's happening this morning? We're going to have more on the spanning the glob segment. Is that the way this is going to go?
What do you mean? Like, are we overseeing the glob? We have no control over the glob. We just
tell
the story of what's happening within the glob.
So he's saying he wants more production. That's what he's saying.
More production.
I'm saying I wanted to see Syracuse win last night, but we don't all get what we want.
Well, first of all, can we get a shot of the ice cube again?
Yeah, right here.
It was a bet last night. Which you were so excited
started at
to
seven.
Jump on it because your boys are red hot and you jump on my case.
Yeah.
So I told you I didn't really care one way or the other, so I'll take the bet. And so all I asked for with the W by the Tigers was a Woodford Reserve, one ice cube.
Yeah.
And we started the show with the one ice cube, and here's where we are.
Yeah.
Still
melting away like the witch in Wizard of Oz.
I'm a man of my word. It's on its way.
Okay. I'd like you to be a man of your word on production.
Yeah, Wes,
I didn't give you a word on production. There's no word to be a man of.
Okay. All right.
Wes, what were you looking for? I mean, you have something in your head.
Oh, yeah, like green goo going to fall over the top of the logo or something, maybe for the glob. You know, some sort of identification graphic to identify the glob.
Or Packer and Durham spinning like the globe.
Oh, that'd be fun.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that idea, too.
Do we have a voiceover man instead of Jim McKay? God bless him. God rest his soul.
There's plenty of voiceover guys in Bristol. I hear the promotions all the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of promotions.
What if we had the 30 for 30 guy?
Whatever you want.
Imagine you're excited
about the opening of Spanning the Glob.
Yeah.
And again, all the credit goes to a listener and viewer who came up with
Absolutely.
This idea and we stole it.
Yeah, no, we stole that. That was completely borrowed. Wouldn't you agree?
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, just asking.
All right, how about fast forward real quick this game last night?
Okay.
Terrific win for Clemson, obviously now 5-5 for Syracuse, right? Five-game winning streak comes to an end. Tough loss, needless to say.
And Duke.
Here comes Duke.
That's what they say when they come on the floor.
Right. I got it. Yeah. Here comes Duke, 30,000 strong at the Dome Saturday. I talked about this the other day. Duke and Syracuse have played some great games.
Yep.
Since Syracuse has come into the ACC. I mean, I'll never forget Boeheim losing to Blazer. And, I mean, we've had the games up.
What about John Gillen's shot?
Man, come on. These two have played great games. And then we harped on the fact that while we have fun with the glob, this is an important week for the top three teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Because now all of a sudden you're going on the road.
Yes,
Florida State went on the road last night, lost. First time they lost since December 3rd. Huge win for Virginia. Florida State has to stay in the Commonwealth, take on a Virginia Tech team that's hurting right now and will be excited in Blacksburg. Duke now, feeling good. They beat Pitt last night, almost lost a big lead. Figured out a way.
Mm-hmm.
Now they take it on the road to Syracuse, who's been playing extremely well. Louisville plays tonight on the road. Where do they go this weekend? NC State. Wolfpack desperately needs to get a W after the loss of Georgia Tech and really kind of a bleh effort against North Carolina.
Right.
This is a really critical week for the top of the league. We know about the glob, but the top of the league coming up tonight and this weekend, really important games.
I think that when you look at Saturday, okay, and I don't know what's going to happen tonight against Wake Forest.
Right, but Louisville, B.C. I mean, that's kind of a game that, you know.
Louisville, B.C.?
Just saying.
I don't know, Mark. We had Jarius Hamilton on. He was fantastic. And enjoyed visiting with him. Nick Popovich and Louisville. I just don't know if BC's got enough weapons to contend with what Louisville will do at 94 feet.
I'm not telling you I feel good about their chances. All I'm saying is that Louisville can't be looking ahead. I mean, all of a sudden Louisville gets out of bed today mm-hmm. and looks at the standings
right.
and says, oh, we're now a full game up on Florida State and
correct.
Duke.
Right.
You know, it's the shine is on us right now at the number one spot. You can't stub your toe in a game like the glob, right? That's what we keep harping on.
No, and this is where you came back to talking earlier in the week about this.
Right.
But if you're Notre Dame after tonight, Georgia Tech Notre Dame feels like that's a pretty big game Saturday in terms of
those
teams. Just in terms of where they got a chance to move up.
Well, where you are in the standings, every game's important to try to move up, but I don't think that's nearly as important.
Louisville, NC State, FSU, Virginia Tech, Duke, Syracuse.
Do you think Georgia Tech or Notre Dame is thinking NCAA tournament?
No, but I think they want momentum in February.
I get that, but I'm thinking if I'm Louisville, hey, I am thinking NCAA tournament. I am thinking ACC regular season. I am thinking seeding in the NCAA. This is the kind of game you can't have a stumble on.
Right.
Because the NC State-Louisville game Saturday,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you right now, the folks in Raleigh, that place will be smoking.
Yeah.
Because they know how important that game is.
Hmm.
For NC State, that is an NCAA tournament kind of atmosphere game.
Yeah.
You've got to have that one.
You're 5-5 through the first half.
You got it. And so if you're one of these teams like Florida State who hadn't lost since December 3rd, coming off a loss, still on the road, you don't want to go 0-2 for the week. Same thing with Duke. Man, now you take it to Syracuse.
Right.
Good luck. They will be excited to see you. Same thing in Raleigh when Louisville comes to town.
Mm-hmm.
To me, as goofy as the glob is,
yeah.
this particular week, it's all about the three at the top. It's my opinion.
Well, and I'll go back to the point that, look, I think those three teams are going to separate themselves a little bit, and that's not a good thing. And we talked about that earlier. I think if there's, you know, three games separation, that's a tough deal.
Well, what happens if Florida State loses at Virginia Tech, Duke loses at Syracuse, and Louisville loses at NC State?
What does that do for you? Then we got a whole other deal.
That's my point.
Yeah,
that those three big guys on the road this weekend, including Louisville tonight, in a game they're supposed to win, expect to win. Just go take care of your business. If you want nice things, go close.
Hey, Josh, you going to the game? I'm going to guess no.
I was going to go.
Yeah.
But the money that I had allocated to my travel, I just spent on a bottle of Woodford.
Oh. That's too bad.
It is. It is.
Look at that. This is how I feel right now. Kind of lonely. Need a friend.
You're going to need a fresh cube when that bottle shows up.
What if Clemson and Syracuse meet again, like in Greensboro? somehow.
Well, it's the only time we're going to see Syracuse on Tobacco Road because they do not play at Duke, at State, at North Carolina, or at Wake Forest this year. How about that?
Yeah, last night was as close as they get.
I mean, Jim Boeheim has yet to step foot in the state of North Carolina.
Wow.
To the tournament.
There you go. Pretty good deal.
Crazy schedule.
Pretty good deal. Had to play those conference games on opening night and doesn't have to go to North Carolina.
The whole state? They'll be in Greensboro, though. Tell you what, though. Cuse last night, despite the loss, I still like their chances to win a bunch of games because they've got pieces.
Oh, I like their team now.
And Hughes can light it up. The dude is a player. And, you know, Boeheim, every time he touches it, you think he's going to score, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
all
tough
right.
loss. But
when we come back, we'll look ahead to the night in the ACC. And we have some developing news that we want to share with you. What are you laughing about?
You find this on the internet, too?
No, this is, you're going to tell us.
Oh.
Because you're
that
the one.
Story.
Yeah, that story.
Okay.
Yeah. Academia, kids.
Yeah. I may have to borrow Cotter's outfit.
Suede elbows?
Yep.
Yeah.
I have to borrow some of
sure,
those.
Sure, why not?
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Lots of fun today with Dan Bonner.
You got some water in that glass.
Unfortunately, yeah. That's all I got in that glass. Jeff Walsh, of course, doing a great job at Louisville. And Chris Cotter making his debut in Frigid, South Bend, Indiana.
Cotter's fun.
Yeah.
Like Cotter's good.
Always good.
By the way, Kennedy Mundy, part of the Friday night duels in Blacksburg the other night for Carolina, named ACC Wrestler of the Week. And, of course, the Tar Heels will play wrestle Duke in the match, duels on Friday.
I hope you make that Friday while you're up there rubbing elbows with the Stars.
Deion Sanders, by the way.
Yeah, how about this? This was a topic on yesterday afternoon show, radio show.
Deion's going to be a – Deion vowed in Miami. A lot of things get said this week during the lead up to the single largest sporting event in the Western Hemisphere. Deion vowed yesterday somewhere along Super Bowl media radio row to – he's going to be somebody's head coach next year.
2021 he's talking about.
2021?
Yeah, not
– next 2 years?
Yeah, not 2020. He said he will be a head football coach in college in 2021. What he said.
No. You, what do you think?
He might be. I mean, I don't know I have no earthly idea. You heard all the crazy rumors when Willie Taggart had stepped aside and, you had all those Deion rumors floating around. I mean, do I think he could do a good job? Probably so. I mean, who thought Herm Edwards would naturally make the rotation from the broadcast booth and not coaching in college in any shape, way, or form since the late 80s? And he's done a nice job at Arizona State. Deion Sanders knows the game.
Yeah, no question.
I suspect that Deion, as personable as he is, could walk into a living room
and recruit
and absolutely wow mom and dad and a kid. I mean, that would be my guess.
All right.
So, I mean, if he wants to do it, man, go for it.
All right.
Got no problem with it.
Good luck to Deion Sanders. Yeah. Two basketball games tonight, both here on the network. Wake Notre Dame at 7. Chris Cotter, Chris Patola from the Purcell Pavilion. 9 o'clock tonight, Steve Schlanger, Dan Bonner, who were with us earlier. We'll be at the Conte Forum for the Deacons and the Eagles. So a pair of games tonight here on the net.
I have a bit of advice from Mike Bray today that I'd like to get off my chest. I read that Roger Federer at the Australian Open was fined $3,000 for dropping some abusive language. It's only the second time it's ever happened to him in a Grand Slam event, major, right?
Okay.
And it turned out he was asked afterwards about his language because normally he's calm, cool, collected, and so is Mike Bray. And Bray, of course, got fined, schooled it, $20,000 for the outburst after the game the other night.
Right.
Federer was fined $3,000 for the language, and he says that he swears in a mix of languages. So he uses a combination of, again, he speaks multiple. So it turns out the lines person could understand some of the languages, and that's where it came up. So I'm wondering, it cost $3,000 for Federer, $20,000 for Bray's outburst. I'm wondering, moving forward, if you happen to be a coach and you're just totally frustrated, whether it be officiating, your team, the weather, whatever, dog eating your homework, whatever the case may be, maybe you go to the mix of languages approach that Federer did. Just saying. So coach, Bray, me to you, Just saying, if you've had enough, if it's up to here, you can't stand any longer, just a little combination.
This is where Dallin Cuff and Portuguese could come
Portuguese in. Word of the day with Dallin Cuff. This is how we started with all this stuff. So one other bit of advice for you guys.
Us or Mike Bray?
No, I'm done with Bray. Okay. He's good. He's got his homework assignment and he's off. And speaking of homework assignments.
Yes, sir.
I had a meeting yesterday because I brought this up to your attention and to President Jim Clements, the president of Clemson University.
Yes, you did.
When we were in New Orleans, and he was gracious enough for this time, and I told him how much I like to speak. Why are you laughing?
Go ahead.
How much I enjoy teaching college classes as a guest lecturer.
Why not?
I love doing it.
Yeah.
So there was a person who was watching our interview.
Yeah.
A guy by the name of Brad Brooks. He's a professor of marketing at the McCall School of Business right here in Charlotte at Queens University. He contacted me. We got together yesterday. And guess what? February the 12th, big man, you're looking at a guest lecturer.
Talking McCall School of Business?
McCall School of Business. That would be Hugh McCall.
Yeah, well, I'm familiar with that name.
He is a mover and a shaker.
Sure is. Yes, he is.
So the McCall School of Business. So February the 12th, I will be the guest lecturer. Branding, marketing.
Okay, because you work so much out of the basement, are you going to Skype from here to the class?
Well,
are they going to give you a parking pass? You're going to go over there and wear a tweed coat?
Tweed coat and pipe, perhaps.
Smoke a pipe.
For you. Parking pass will not be a problem. It's literally 5 minutes down the street.
Are you going to walk?
You could. I could pull a cotter, but it's too cold.
You're going to pull the academic and walk?
No. I will.
With your pipe and your tweed coat?
Not bring the hounds. I'm going solo. Guest lecturer February 12th. So there you go. Guest lecturer. McCall School of Business. You're dealing with them right now, Durham.
Drew?
I'll find out about the math department and see if they can squeeze you in.
Drew? No. Drew? Drew, are we gonna live shoot? We wanna get a camera guy in there for
that? No, this is not for you people. This is for the advanced class of marketing and not for you nimwits trying to figure out how you're gonna pay off your bets.
I think I'd like to call the registrar's office and see if I can get some sort of refund on my tuition for my student at Queens.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.